topic of homosexuality, and specifically the question of whether they're born that way. Is somebody born a homosexual? And so we're going to look at the whole subject of homosexuality, but we're going to focus some of our attention on that particular aspect of it today to answer that question, because it is a good question. Because if someone is born a certain way, like for example, say someone is born without a leg, is that a sin? Well, no. We have some people are born black, some are born white, some are born oriental. So is that a sin? No. So if homosexuality is something that God put within human beings from the beginning, that some were going to be born that way, it would be unjust of him and unjust of us as well to condemn them for that. Just as it would be unjust for us to condemn a woman for being born a woman, or a man for being born a man, or as we said earlier, for someone being born even with a disease, someone who's born with Down syndrome, for example, a problem of the chromosome. Would it be right to condemn someone just because they were born with some problem health-wise or genetically? No, that would not be right. So we want to examine that, and we're going to look at that in the light of not only the scientific community and what they've discovered as they've studied that, but also then, of course, what do the Scriptures say about it? What does the Bible have to say about this? It is interesting. Our lesson is entitled Welcome Back to Sodom, and this is really going to be a two-part lesson. We're going to deal with another section that doesn't deal with the homosexuality next week. I've been hearing this commercial on the radio, and it's been absolutely driving me crazy every time I hear it. This commercial that heroin addiction is a disease that afflicts many people. And I guess it started years ago when being an alcoholic was a disease that afflicted people. We have got to get through our heads the difference and draw lines between what is a sinful behavior, what is something that we're born with, and what is a disease. These are three different things. Now, it's possible, of course, for someone to be born with a disease, but a disease is not something that is genetic. In other words, that is inherited as such. Now, there are some genetic things that can go wrong between the mother and the child before it's born that can cause some of these things. But we want to deal with this idea of everything. And you know why we want to head that way. The first step, of course, is to say it's a disease, because anytime we look at disease, we think, well, that's something that attacked this person, and the person is the victim of it. Well, if we're a victim, then we're not responsible any longer, are we? And so that's the way everybody wants to head. I'm not responsible for being an alcoholic. It's a disease I suffer from. Now, how long is it going to be? Already there are some that I'm not responsible for being a mass murderer. It's a disease I suffer from. I can't help it. I can't stop. How far do we go? How long will we allow these things? We've got to define sin as sin. And we've got to define disease as disease. Now, we've got to understand some disease is caused by some of our sinful actions. And we look at, for example, as we're studying this, AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. Now, there are innocent victims who contract those diseases as the result of other people's fault. You know, there are innocent children who get those diseases as a result of things that happen to them. Babies may sometimes contract that disease from their mother. But the disease itself is generally, the reason it's called a sexually transmitted disease is because it's generally transmitted by sexual contact. And I promise you this. Two individuals who follow God's plan of keeping themselves sexually abstinent until marriage, a male and a female, and they've both done that, and they get married and they have no sexual relations with anyone outside that marriage bed, have no fear of contracting sexually transmitted diseases. This is it's a lie that's been told. Well, these sexually transmitted, they get everybody. It does matter. They're transmitted by the behaviors that people engage in. If you don't engage in those risky behaviors, you've eliminated, for all practical purposes, your risk. Now, as we said, we know there are freak accidents that can happen with, somebody talk about a dentist got it because, the patient bit him, and caused blood, or a doctor used a dirty needle on somebody to give them a shot, and they get, we hear about those things. Or somebody got a blood transfusion from someone who had been infected. Yeah. But the major way that it's transmitted is through the sexual contact. And if we'll eliminate the sinful sexual behaviors that God has condemned already, we'll eliminate our risk of that disease. And we need to understand that. Now, so this idea that just these diseases just go out there and get people and nobody has any, that's just trying to eliminate our responsibility to live righteous, holy lives. That's all they're trying to do. They're trying to say, well, you can't help it. You might get it anyway, so we just live however we want because it doesn't matter. It does matter. It always matters how we live. As we look at our society becoming more and more like Sodom, we have to realize that the most infamous sin of Sodom was homosexuality. In fact, it's even called sodomy. And many states still have sodomy laws. They're laws against certain behaviors for that very reason. Because it was such a horrible thing to that society and has been to every society that has embraced it. Ezekiel 16:49-50 that was read, we notice that was not Sodom's only sin. It wasn't the only one. Sometimes we think, well, every person in the city of Sodom was a homosexual, and that's why God... No, that's not the case. Ezekiel tells us, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination. Only that last one, the committed abomination one, includes the homosexuality. So these other things didn't include the homosexuality. Those were separate sins, and we'll look at those the next time. He says, therefore I took them away. Let's learn some things about homosexual behavior. Let's learn, first of all, that homosexual behavior has been misrepresented by some. Some people have tried to proclaim that this is some new thing that's come out, that it didn't exist before, and now it's something different, it's something new, and that's why it's just maybe a form of evolution. We've evolved to a new level now, where we can have these homosexual relationships. It's not new. We see that when we go back to Sodom in Genesis 19:4-13. That section tells about the Sodomites in Sodom, the homosexual men. Notice what it says. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter. There are people from all over the city, young and old, that came. And they called to Lot, said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out that we may know them. Lot went out to them and shut the door behind him. He said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Remember that phrase, do not so wickedly. He associated what they were doing with wickedness. Behold, I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me bring them out.
He offered them his virgin daughters. And this is how far they had gone to homosexuality. They weren't interested.
They didn't want his daughters. They said, then, this fellow has come to sojourn among us and now he needs to be a judge. We'll deal worse with you than with them. And they came after him then. And we're going to break down the door. But the men, of course, they were really angels, weren't they? Pulled Lot in and struck the men outside the house blind. And here's how obsessed with the homosexual behavior these men were. Notice what it says. They smote them with blindness, and they wearied themselves to find the door. Even after they were struck blind, they were so determined to engage in this homosexual behavior that they got tired. They physically wearied themselves trying to find the door. And they wanted to come in and take advantage of these men. And then the men, of course, said to Lot, get everybody you know and get them out of here because we're going to destroy this place. It's a wicked place. It's not anything new. It's been around since way back there in Genesis. Secondly, we want to notice that it is not as common as we are told. There have been quotes made, statistics given. There was a Kinsey Institute report that is cited by many who propose that homosexuality should be accepted that say that 10% of the population is homosexual. That's one out of every 10 people. That would mean that 50 of us, 5 of us have been homosexuals. The fact of the matter is, however, that has been grossly abused. That is not at all the case. One study by the National Health and Social Life Survey found 2.8% of men and 1.4% of the female population identify themselves as gay. In other words, they say they're homosexual. So that's way down from that 10%, isn't it? Now we're getting more like 2%. But even that seems to be a little high because that study also found that 0.9%, that's less than 1 out of 100 men, and 0.4% of the women, that's less than 1 out of every 200 of the women, reported having only same-sex partners from the age of 18 on. So that's even less. But then what we find when we look at the 2000 census, you know, they do the census every 10 years. In 2000, when they did the census, it showed about 292 million people living in America. There were approximately 106 million households, and of those, 600,000 were homosexual households. Well, what does that mean? That means that truly, statistically, of the people who are living in America, of all of those households, less than 0.5% were reported as being homosexual. And yet, if we watch TV and you see a television show, a show that's got 4 or 5 characters, one of them is going to be gay. One of them will be homosexual on most of those shows. Or at least, or they'll be bisexual, or they'll be what they call transgender. There'll be a cross-dresser, a transvestite. There'll be on almost every show. But if they were to truly reflect what the population of America shows, then there would have to be 200 characters in order for there to be one homosexual character or one lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, that they'd have out of 200. But see, we're being lied to by Hollywood and by those who produce these things because they want us to believe that this is a common thing. Do you realize that even though we can look at the American population, it's approximately 12 or 13% Hispanic, 12 or 13% black, about 68% white, and then there's also a percentage of Oriental, and then there are other, you know, other things mixed in. And all this is the population of the United States. But there are more homosexual characters on television than there are Latin American or Latino characters. Why is that? Because they want to push the idea that this is more normal. You have trouble finding on most network television, you have trouble finding a Latino. They had the George Lopez show or something, I think. But that was about it. And yet there are more than about 1 in 10 in the whole country. That may not be the case here where we live. It's different in different geographic areas of the country. In some parts of South Texas, there are far more than that. It's like 50% Latino. Here in Alabama, the black population is far higher than the 12 to 13% that it is nationally. But when Chris comes back, ask him how many black folks he saw in North Dakota. So it's spread out in different ways around the country. The problem is that the homosexual base, the homosexual population, is condensed very highly in certain places like San Francisco, like Hollywood, and certain other areas in some of the large cities where it's a big thing. But they want to spread it. So they want to show that it's much more common than it really is. However, having said that, we have to understand that it is becoming more common. There are some people who might say, well, no, it's the same as it's always been. No, it's not. It is becoming more common. Well, why is it becoming more common? Because they're influencing people by being allowed to show it as a normal, alternate lifestyle that this is just a way that you live and don't let anybody tell you not to, and you do it. And so they're getting their message out. They're telling people that there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. It is becoming more common. 50 years ago, it was rare that you ever heard of someone who was homosexual. Now, most of us, probably all of us, know someone who is, and most of us have a family member who is. So we know that it is growing, it is spreading. Is it spreading because of genetics? Well, see, that's not the way genetics works. Genetically, a certain trait will always appear in the same percentage of the population. It's going to work that way all the time because that's just the way that statistics and the variables of genetics work. It's going to work in certain combinations, and it's always going to be predictable how many are going to be born with this trait, how many are going to be born with that trait. You ever notice that always there is about the same number of male and female? Well, why is it now? In any given year, there may be way more males born this year, way more females born this year, but it always evens out. So that in the general population, there's always about the same number of males and females. Well, why is that? Because that's the way genetics works. Genetics will always drive you to a set type of number or percentage in these things. But we need to understand that despite what some are saying, it has been so misrepresented because they do say that it's a normal alternative. It is not a normal alternative. Lot didn't think so. He said that what they were doing was wickedness. He didn't say it's a normal alternative. He didn't say, well, y'all go practice your normal alternative over there and leave us alone. He said, don't do this wickedness. Now, of course, the homosexual movement will say, well, he was talking about the fact they were going to rape this man, these men. He wasn't just talking about a regular loving relationship between two homosexuals. Okay, well, let's see what the rest of the Bible says about it. Romans 1, verses 23 and following. Paul talks about people who had changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Notice then what he says about these people. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Notice that word, vile passions, not normal alternatives. Vile passions. For even their women. He said, you know, I don't know why we have this concept sometimes, but we do have the concept that women are less likely to engage in certain sinful actions than men. And I guess when it comes to certain risky behavior, maybe that's true. Women don't do some of the sinful things as much as men do. But he says, even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Now, that's very important that we understand that. He did not say it was against culture. He did not say it was against any, you know, economics or against popular opinion. He said that it is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality and so forth. So he said, God gave up on them. They were determined to have their own way instead of doing what he had naturally designed for them to do. They wanted to go against nature. So he gave up on them and let them go. He let them go do what was against nature. And that's exactly what it is. It is not natural. They're not born that way. It goes contrary to what is natural for them to engage in these things. We must see that homosexual behavior then is not acceptable to God. It's condemned in the Old Testament. Leviticus 20 and verse 13, also Leviticus 18, 22 says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Leviticus 20, 13 goes even further. It says, if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Okay? God condemned it in the Old Testament. But that was the Old Testament, right? God condemned a lot of things back then. It's different now. We're under the New Testament law. Well, that's right, we are. But you know, some things never change. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, it's condemned in the New Testament. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot continue in this, no one can continue in this behavior and inherit the kingdom of God. Paul makes it clear. It is condemned regardless of the culture. Again, we go back to what is said there in Romans 1. It is not that it's against culture. In fact, when Paul wrote the book of Romans and when Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, homosexuality was an accepted thing in the Roman Empire. Probably as accepted or more accepted than it is here in our day today. And yet he still condemned it despite the fact that culture had given it its approval. In fact, we're getting there, but we're not there yet. I saw that this past election, some city in Oregon elected the first transgendered mayor. But did you know that Nero was married to two different men? He was married to a boy who was his wife, and then he was the wife of another man, if you can call it that. And I know that's what they're, but that's what they're pushing for here in our country. They haven't gotten there yet. Can you imagine us electing a president who, instead of having a wife and children, as our past president and our newly elected president both do, had two husbands or two wives? Or that's so when people say, well, it's just a cultural thing and we're culturally beyond. No! They were way beyond it in Rome and in Corinth. Paul didn't say, well, since it's a cultural thing, God's going to let it go. No, he condemned it despite the fact that the culture had said, it's acceptable. It's hard to imagine how depraved that society in the first century there must have been to have been having these things going on and it been as acceptable as it was. And yet our society is headed in that direction. But regardless of what our society says, regardless of where our culture takes this issue, it does not change the fact that God said, you cannot practice these behaviors and enter the kingdom of heaven and inherit the kingdom of God. Notice, though, it's not as though God has just picked on this particular group. They're not the only one he lists in this list. Murderers, adulterers, idolaters, drunkards, covetous. There's a lot of people in this group that are not going to be able to inherit the kingdom of God. Because, see, one of the other things, the homosexuals, they're just picking on it. No. It's just one of many things that God has condemned, and he said, you cannot do this and be righteous. I hope, of course, that you'll read the article that's in the bulletin where the disturbing article in and of itself. I also have another article here that if anybody would like a copy of it, it's 10 pages long, so I didn't run it in the bulletin. But an article that deals in more detail with some of these statistics, as well as some of the scientific findings that we're fixing to look at. We see that homosexual behavior is taught and learned. Why do you think that homosexual couples want to be able to adopt children? You think they want to be able to adopt children so that they can raise little heterosexual children? No, they want to be able to teach those children from birth or from an early age to be homosexual. They know that it is something that can be taught and that can be learned. Because we've seen it, haven't we? We've seen someone who started out heterosexual and became homosexual. That would indicate that wasn't something genetic. It was something where they changed the decisions they were making and changed the behavior that they were engaging in. It is not genetic. They try to paint it that way because they know that if it's genetic, it will have to be accepted. They try to couch it in terms similar to the civil rights movement of the 60s. It's a basic fundamental right, and we're being deprived of our rights, just as those in the African-American community knew that they had to stand up for what was their right, God-given right. That it wasn't a sin to have been born black. And they had the same rights, that all men are created equal. Well, see, the homosexual movement tries to do the same thing. However, and I have also on your outline, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but there are some logical arguments that go along with some of these things. Okay? If it were genetic, there would have been a sign of it in the DNA. Because everything that you are physically is in your DNA. Now, a few years back, They came out with, we're going to map the human genome. Big, yay. We're going to find the gay gene. Yay. Well, April 14th, 2003, the International, people from all over the world, scientists worked on this thing. And some of them were working with the specific agenda to find these particular things. The International Human Genome Consortium announced the human genome is complete and the Human Genome Project is over. But you know what you didn't read on April 14th or any date since then? Or before then, for that matter, other than their speculation of what was going to be found, you never read where, Eureka! We've discovered it! Here's the gay gene! It was on this chromosome, and this is it! No, because the one piece of information that never materialized from this Human Genome Project was the identification of the so-called gay gene. It's done. They have completely examined all of the genes that make a human being, and it wasn't there. There was no genetic material that makes someone homosexual. They examined over 200 million base pairs, as they call them. Over 1,400 genes. They couldn't find the gay gene. It wasn't there. Well, they were looking for it. They wanted to find it. They couldn't find it. It was not in the genetic code of human beings. We also want to see that this is a taught and learned behavior. It is a behavior. It is a practice. It is not a disease. But even if it were a disease, we ought to want to treat it and cure it if it were a disease. They don't want to say it's a disease, but it is, in some respects, like a mental illness because you've gone contrary to what is natural. There's something wrong in the mind that causes these things to be desirable. But all sin is that way, isn't it? Whether it's lying or gossiping or whether it's theft, murder, every sin is because something's wrong in the mind. It doesn't mean that we excuse the behavior. But it is not a disease like a cold or the flu or cancer or something like that. Because God does not condemn people for being sick. Go back to that in Leviticus. Notice what he said should happen to the two men who lie together as a man lies with a woman. They were to be put to death. Now in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you read a lot about all sorts of disease, even infectious disease. And there were times where God said this person should be quarantined. He didn't use the word quarantine, but he's supposed to be separated from his people, that's quarantine, to keep that infectious disease from spreading. But never did he say, hey, you know what, somebody's got a really bad form of leprosy, kill them. God never condemned someone to death for a disease. It would be unjust of him to do so with homosexuality if it were a disease. And he does not do that. The judge of all the world will do what is right. In fact, that's what Abraham asked God before he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, will not the judge of all the world do that which is right? If you find 50 people there that are righteous, save all the wicked ones because there's got it down to 10. If you find 10, save all the wicked ones because there are 10 righteous ones. That's how far God is willing to go. He's willing to save all the wicked people
for 10 righteous people. But when he got to Sodom, he couldn't find those 10 righteous people. In fact, I'm not sure whether he really found any. They had to drag Lot and his family out of there, and his wife turned and looked back, and then what his daughters did with him, they got him drunk, and you know, they weren't exactly the model of what a human being should be. But what we see is that sexual behavior between two of the same sex is a sinful choice that they have made. Just like adultery is a sinful choice that someone makes, just like fornication is a sinful choice that someone makes, just like stealing is a sinful choice. Now, you may do something for so long that it becomes a habit and becomes what we would call second nature to you, but it is not natural and it is not right. It is a sinful choice. That does not, however, mean that it's not more difficult for some to fight against it than others. There are some people who are born with certain problems that might lead them to be tempted more by certain things than others. Certain people's bodies are more susceptible to the addiction of alcohol. Certain people's bodies are more susceptible to becoming easily intoxicated. That's just the way certain people are. Certain young men, boys, or whatever, may be born with some physical problem that causes them to be looked down on by their peers, causes them to be teased and mocked. And sometimes I've seen it myself when I was in school, when I was a youngster. There are certain young men, they call him names. He's gay. He may not have been gay, but they keep egging at him and bugging at him and picking at him until he gives up. And he may become gay because he's been picked at and teased and told that he was for so long that he starts to believe it. He wasn't born that way, but he became that way. There may be a young lady who is what we might call a tomboy, and she's just not very feminine, and she gets picked on because she's not very feminine. Or a man who is more effeminate. And so people assume, and then they make accusations, and they say things, and it may lead that person in that direction. It may cause that person to be tempted to do those things. Another thing, of course, is the environment in which they grow up. That's why, as we said, that's why homosexuals want to be able to adopt children, because they want to raise them to be homosexuals. We've got to understand that, like any temptation, it will affect some people more than others. That does not excuse our yielding to that temptation. Yielding to temptation is sin, regardless of how strong the temptation is. There are some people who may be tempted. A temptation itself is not a sin. We are all tempted. There may be some who may be tempted, and they may have to fight every day not to give in and practice that sinful behavior. But they can do that. Fourth and finally, quickly now, we need to understand that homosexual behavior does not change anyone's responsibility. It can't keep us from loving those who are involved. 1 Timothy 2, 1-4 tells us that God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, you name it, He wants all of them to come to a knowledge of the truth. We, as Christians, have an important role to play. Because if we hate and we mistreat or abuse
people because they are homosexual and because they're engaged in homosexual behavior, we may drive them further away from Christ rather than drawing them to Christ. But then we need to understand their responsibility is to stop the behavior. And it can be stopped. 1 Corinthians 6, remember 9 and 10, we read those things that God condemns, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at what verse 11 says. And such were some of you. Paul wrote to the church, to the saints at Corinth, to the Christians, and he said, some of you used to be sodomites. Some of you used to be homosexuals, but you're not anymore. There's another indication there that it's not genetic. You, those of you who are black, you can't stop being black. Michael Jackson tried, maybe, but you can't. You know, genetically, you're going to be. That's what you are. I can't stop being white. That's what I am. I can't stop it. I can't change it. Now, I know the medical community has helped to try to make men women and women men, and all, but that's not natural. They have to go in. They can change the hormone dosages and all that. They can't change the genetics. Those individuals still either have X chromosomes or X and Y chromosomes. You can't change it. They may figure out someday even how to change that. If they do, it still won't change the responsibility that we have to live according to what God has commanded for us. But then we also see that it can be forgiven. Jesus said, they that are well need not the physician, Matthew 9, verses 11 through 13, but they who are sick. The ones who are sick. They are sick, not with a physical disease, but they're sick with sin. We need to love them just as we do every other sinner out there and try to bring them to a knowledge of the truth, so that they can be saved, so that they can get away from that sinful lifestyle. We have to do that for each other all the time. Whatever our sinful behavior may be, we've got to stop it so that we can have it forgiven. We've got to stop those things. Now, that doesn't mean if someone practiced homosexuality and became a Christian, they might even slip up. They might be tempted and give in sometime. A Christian can repent, come back and try to do better the next time, not give in. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps your attitude hasn't been right toward those who are homosexual. Perhaps you've been driving people away from Christ as a result of a bad attitude. Perhaps you've not been trying to teach the truth. You've been giving in and compromising and say, well, they can't help it. We've got to stand firm on the truth and yet speak the truth in love and help them. One study that I didn't mention, that I will now, showed that of several hundred who entered treatment for homosexuality, the majority of them, after the treatment, no longer considered themselves to be homosexual, but considered themselves to be heterosexual. It can be overcome. But like all sin, the more deeply ingrained it is, the more difficult it is to get it out of life. If you're here and you have a need to respond, do so as we stand and as we sing.